Magi there. And this morning's sermon is about the Magi. What was the Magi's purpose? Well, you might want to think about that. Why did they come? I mean, think about it. Because they came, Herod found out about the Messiah being born and became alarmed, and he sent orders out to kill innocent babies. So you might say to yourself, the Magi's coming actually provoked an evil wickedness in Israel. That's not good. So wouldn't it have been better if the Magi had never come? Well, good cannot be thwarted by evil. And no matter what good deed you do, if evil comes about as a result, it's not because of the good that you're doing. Never hesitate to do the good that you are prompted to do by God. If he tells you to do something, you do it. The Magi went. They didn't know Herod was a ruthless man, that he was so interested in protecting his own position and that of his family that he would do such a thing. It wasn't their fault. But what was the purpose of the Magi? The Magi's purpose is similar to all of us. The purpose of man is to what? To love God and serve him. This is what the catechisms tell us. Whether you're Protestant, Catholic, we don't have a catechism per se as Baptist, but the teachings of Sunday school, of scripture, of the discipling that we do, we know that we are to love God and to serve him. That is what the Magi's purpose was. Simple, simple, true. All right? What about Jesus' own words? He said to love God and your fellow man. The Magi were loving God incarnate, the Messiah, and they were loving their fellow man, the Jews. It's kind of interesting what's happening here. This is a great picture for us to look at, to see, not necessarily at the creche. We know that they came to a house, but to see the Magi here, it kind of fills the picture. Some of you were saying, where's the Magi? All Christmas season long, right? You're saying, the Magi need to be there. The Magi, don't worry, they'll get there. And they finally did. But they show up last because Jesus came to his own first. He came to those Israelites who were longing and waiting for deliverance, for a judge, for a redeemer, for a Messiah. And he came to them first. And so the shepherds, who were probably Jewish, and the innkeeper and the townspeople, maybe there was somebody who helped with the delivery, Mary and Joseph, they're all Jews. And then come along these foreigners also to pay homage. God sent them to Bethlehem. Why did he send them to the Messiah? Perhaps to validate what had happened, because it seemed to happen with only a few who noticed. The shepherds, perhaps a few people in town, marveled at this birth. Certainly Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. She seemed to get it at a very early age. Joseph, no doubt, also being visited by the angel, being told that the Savior would be born through them, and they would give him the name Joshua. I know it says Jesus, but the Jewish name is Joshua. You all know that. And Joshua means the Savior. He's going to come and save. Anyway, Jesus is laying there, and the Jews all around him are waiting for their Messiah. But when the Magi come, it adds validity to the argument that he must be a King of Kings, because the kings are coming to worship him, to cast their crowns before him, so to speak. So they're lending authority to the claim that this baby is the Messiah simply by their presence. So that's perhaps a reason why God sent them. But also to provide resources. This is a young family. Do you know families that are well off who are in their 30s who have their first child? Usually not. It's hard. It's difficult. And if you wait until you're rich and you own your house free and clear, and if you wait until you know how to cook, if you wait until you know how to raise children, if you wait until, you'll never have children. And I think that's why God made it so easy for us to have children. How many of you have had a child without even trying? Come on, how many of you? You didn't try. I know there's more of you. I know it. It's easy. By the way, if you're a young person, we know what causes pregnancy. It's sex. So if you have sex, don't be surprised if you get pregnant. It's important for you to understand that's what causes pregnancy. There's been many studies done on this. They now have concluded sex causes pregnancy. I'm sorry, I've said the word sex like 4 times in a sermon on Sunday morning in a church, and you shouldn't be embarrassed by that. God made us this way, and he made it easy for us to procreate. He wants us to have children in his designed plan. Young families don't have a lot of resources. This family needed some help. They needed some assistance. And so the Magi brought with them gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, perhaps they could sell the frankincense and myrrh for money, but luckily they didn't have to because money was given to them as well. So they had the gold. So when Herod puts a price on the heads of all the babies, 2 and under, in the Bethlehem region, they could run off to safety because they had their pockets were bulging. They had lots of money. They had gold. So they ran off to Egypt and were well provided for. Perhaps that's a reason why the Magi were sent to Bethlehem by God. Certainly they were there to worship. They presented their gifts. They marveled at the sight of a child. Now they could have stayed wherever they were from, probably Babylonia. They could have stayed in Babylon and seen children. They could have gone to the NICU, whatever unit, you know, where you go in the hospital and you see all the cribs and all the babies. They could have saved themselves a lot of trouble, couldn't they? But those were just babies. They knew that they were going to see something very, very different, something very, very special that even the Babylonians had heard about centuries before by the Jewish influence when they were brought to Babylon in captivity. The Jews were sharing with all who would listen what their religion was all about and how God loved them and would save them from their sins by sending a Messiah, and that they were anxiously waiting. And some of the Babylonians started to believe in this God, and they started to also wait for the Messiah. And it's evidenced today by these Magi who show up to worship the king. They're worshiping Jesus, and it's right and proper for them to do so because he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But this one here really, really struck me. You have the Magi who are rich. You have the shepherds who are poor. You have the educated, the Magi, and the shepherds who are perhaps simple-minded, uneducated, unable to perhaps even write, although they're Jewish. They probably knew how to write. They were wealthy, poor, intelligent, educated, and not. They were, excuse me, Jewish, not the pardon me, not the Magi. They weren't Jewish. The shepherds and the townsfolk who came to see the baby Jesus, they were Jewish. But more than Jews would be saved by this birth. Jesus came not just for his own, but he came first to his own. Jesus ministered to the Jews first, but occasionally his ministry spilled out and over to the Gentiles. And so the Gentiles are represented as coming to see the young Christ to worship him. This is important because Jesus is the Savior of the world. He's not just the Savior for the Jews. You know, most religions, they work it in that if you are part of them, you get saved. It's usually part of their theology, their doctrine that they teach, that they profess, that they claim, that you have to come and be part of them. You have to join their membership in order to be saved. But not so with Christianity. Christianity is the invitation to worship and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for your sins. You don't have to join this church in order to go to heaven. Now, some churches do actually teach that. There are some churches who believe that there is salvation nowhere else except in the church, and you must join the church in order to be saved. This church has never believed that. This church has always believed it's about the baby Jesus. It's about his death on the cross when he grew up into a man and yielded his life, a sacrifice for many. And so we're remembering, along with the Magi, we're worshiping the one who would free us, who would deliver us. And they didn't have to become Jewish to worship him, to give him gifts, to be saved by him. Jesus came for the whole world. And the whole world back in those days was also Scranton, Pennsylvania, even though it wasn't called Scranton. It was also for folks living in Alaska and wherever the other side of the world would have been from Jerusalem. He came to save the whole world. And so the Magi are representing those who are not Jewish, because many would be drawn to Jesus. You know, the religion may have started in Jerusalem, but there's hardly a corner of the world where Jesus is not known. Now, I know you're saying to yourself, Pastor, the 1040 window. Well, what's the 1040 window? I don't know, latitude, longitude. In particular, in the Middle East, you find a lot of people that don't know Jesus. They haven't even heard much about him. Well, the Muslims know about Jesus. He's in their Quran. Their teachers teach about Jesus. They don't believe he's the Messiah of the world. They believe that he's a great prophet, but they do know about him. Many are turning to him because God is revealing himself to them. I don't know if you've heard the stories that come to us from the 1040 window, but those who were formerly involved in ISIS, those who were guards over prisoners, and many others have seen visions, have had dreams, and it was Christ coming to them to invite them to trust in him, that he died for their sins. And they came to faith and gave their hearts to Jesus in a beautiful way, without a missionary, without a Bible, without a church. Because those things are not necessary for salvation. All it takes is for you to surrender your heart to Jesus, to say, I'm through with myself, I can't do it. God, you loved me, you made a provision for me, you sent your son to die for me, I believe this. And guess what? That's what makes you part of his church. And there's a difference between Jackson Street Baptist Church and his church. Jackson Street Baptist Church is man-made. We design covenants, we take votes, it's something that we do. That's not a bad thing. There's lots of things that we do that aren't bad for us, like eat our broccoli, brush our teeth. There's lots of good things that we do. Don't get me wrong. But the church, with a capital C, is the church universal, and it's made up of all believers. And yes, there are some Jews who do believe in Jesus, especially at the beginning of Christianity. And there are also Gentiles. And that's why it's so important that the Magi are there worshiping the baby Jesus, because they represent you and me. They represent the whole world turning to Jesus, coming to know him. Every language, every tribe, every tongue will be there in glory, worshiping their Savior and their God with you. You will not be alone. There will be many. Jesus is the Messiah for the Jews and for the whole world. Of course, for the Jews, because they had the prophecies. They were the first ones to be looking for the Messiah. They were the chosen. They were the ones that God made a covenant with. But all so that the world could be saved through them. It wasn't that God designed this plan just for the Jews. He designed this plan to use the Jews to bless the world. And he has that same plan for us today. He will use us to bless our world. The same way that God used the Jews to bring about the Messiah, you are used of God to bring the story of salvation to those in your circle of influence. You have the opportunity to share the good news and to be the conduit of God's grace coming to many in our world. The last thing that the Magi represent in my mind is our own individual hearts, our souls, what we choose to believe. There they are. Are you there with them? In spirit, do you picture yourself before Jesus, worshiping him, casting your crowns at his feet? If you do, then you're probably a believer. It's hard to imagine yourself worshiping somebody that you don't follow, that you don't believe in, that you don't trust. If there was a political candidate coming to a town near us, down the street, a big arena filling up with those who are trusting and believing that they are the next best candidate for president of the United States, do you go or do you not go? Well, some people go out of curiosity. They want to hear the person as they speak so that they can decide whether or not they would be a good candidate for them or not. But that's not what we have here. This isn't a mere candidate. This is somebody who has fulfilled prophecy. The Magi are learning as they go. And when they get there, I'm sure Mary told them the stories of the prophecies being fulfilled, but also of the star, which they knew about, the angels, the annunciations, certainly the shepherds. And they went home glorifying God because they knew they met the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And they didn't have to stay in Jerusalem for the blessing. The blessing would come to them and follow them wherever they went the rest of their lives. Are you in that band? Are you trusting and believing in Jesus? It's as simple as that. Are you there with them, worshiping the child, the baby, your Messiah? They are there representing you, but they only represent you if you're trusting in Christ. You have the opportunity to choose for yourself what you will do. My grandson, I was tucking him in last night, and we were talking about heaven, how to get there and all. And we got on to the topic of the other place, the place that's not heaven, the place where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. He seemed to know an awful lot about it. Good job, Hillary. And he was saying that those people down there, maybe that they're there until they believe in Jesus. And I did have to correct him on that point. I said, there's no indication that anyone who goes to that place ever has a chance of getting out. You only have this life to choose what to believe about Jesus. And after that, your fate is sealed. Now, this is a real stern warning to you all. You need to choose to follow Jesus here in this life. You won't get any second chances after your death. It's death that is the final finishing mark for our lives. Yes, we will go on for all eternity in heaven or in hell, but what determines whether you get to heaven or not is whether or not you believe in Jesus, and you only have this short period of time, 30, 60, 100 years, however long you live, to choose what to believe about Jesus. And some of you are saying, well, I can wait till later. I'm young. I'm going to live another 30, 40 years. I'm going to live another 60, 70 years. I'm going to live another 10 years. However, how old they are, they're imagining that they have more time and they put off this decision. Nothing could be more perilous or foolhardy, dare I say it, than to put off the greatest decision you'll ever make, the greatest gift known to mankind. Why would you put it off? Well, because I don't care to be committed to him. He wants me to do things that I'd rather not do. He wants me to give up alcohol because I depend on it too much. Well, do you really think that 10 years from now you're going to depend on it any less? And that's why you got to wait 10 years or 20 years or 30 years? And what makes you so sure that you're going to have time to accept him in your final moments? A lot of people get taken from this world in a sudden way. So if you're here and you're hearing these words and you're contemplating the Magi and their purpose, they didn't wait till the Messiah came to them. They went to him. They saw, they read, they knew the prophecies, and they were certain that this was the Christ child. And so they came and they worshiped him. Won't you, in the same manner, choose to follow Jesus, trusting and believing in him, not waiting for a better time, not waiting till you're ready? In truth, no one's ever ready to meet Jesus. He is holy and we are not. We are sinful. It's almost embarrassing to come to him. But he is loving, he is caring, he is forgiving, and he will provide what you need. Let us pray. Father God, I do pray that you would be with the hearts and minds of those contemplating Christ right now. Perhaps there's somebody here among us who has been holding out, who has not surrendered fully yet. Perhaps they've been waiting. Perhaps it's just not their time, Father. But this example of the Magi and how they represent us and how we need to be there worshiping too. Father, I pray that each heart and each soul here in this place, even the young ones back in junior church, Father, that each one would be trusting in you. And if they are not yet, Father, that you would bring them through to salvation, to that decision, a very young age in a very short period of time. Perhaps in these moments, Father, some are surrendering their hearts to you more fully. We pray that you would lead and guide, that you would strengthen our church. Yes, we're the convention of man, but we do believe that we exist for a reason and for a purpose locally and individually. Even as Jackson Street Baptist Church, we've seen you use us in the past to win many souls to you, yourself. Father, we pray that we would see a future, that we would continue this legacy of sharing the good news with others who need to hear it, others who need a Savior. Father, as we prepare our hearts for the communion of Jesus, we pray that you would be with anyone who needs to accept Christ, be with those of us who perhaps need to confess our sins to you, be with those of us who desire to worship you in spirit and in truth. For we gather in obedience to do what you have mandated and asked us to do, to remember you this way. So bless our reflections in these moments especially. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.